Dude, buttons this week?
What's up with buttons?
Dude, it's been a wild week, to be honest with you. Buttons normally are something that you would think are a very secondary thing, but they've really become the bane of my existence this past week.
Well, I mean, I don't think many people understand how many buttons could possibly be needed or used in one design system or application, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I know you have as well, but I've designed probably 5 design systems at this point, maybe 6. And usually when you do something like this, you're at, you know, either some large corporation or you're developing an app where there's either already standards in place or, you know, there's an industry patterns that you can kind of follow and guide you. And with this system here, it's kind of the wild, wild west. Thankfully, we picked an industry at least to start with, even though you'll be able to customize it to whatever you need. But it kind of was able to rein us in. As of right now, well, we have 140 buttons and we need about 100 more to get created.
At least. I mean, there's the 140 we thought we're going to cover most, but we just were like, oh no, what about these? What about these? So it makes sense for us to just plan them out, get them done now, just so that we can easily use them in the future.
Like, for sure,
because we said we don't know exactly who this is going to serve and when, so if we can build out the library of these components, then, you know, we should.
Yeah, definitely. And reusability and scalability on this is going to be very, very important, I feel.
I gotta parched.
What are you drinking today? I'll join you.
So I picked up a Hefeweizen style ale called Miami Weiss, which is really cool, from MIA Beer Company down in Miami. They've got some really sweet beers. This is I'm not a big Hefeweizen fan, but this is a really good, easy drinking beer.
Nice. So. Good stuff. We were trying to get the podcast out last week. We said we'd be weekly, and look at us, week number 2, and we already missed one. We decided that we are going to add a new design tool to our repertoire. We were talking about Figma, and while Figma is great, we're still going to support Figma and design in there, as well as create documents for Sketch and Adobe XD.
Right.
We decided to add Framer X into the mix, and the cool thing about Framer is it allows me to actually code the components so that when the design team needs to go and use them to create the layouts, the user experience, whatever, wireframe rapid prototype, they're using it with real code. They're not using it with just design elements, which is really cool. Makes the job a lot faster from a development perspective.
Right. I mean, it's great to be able to design right in Framer, but you know, we've been going back and forth discussing about how and if we should use Figma or even some of these other, you know, prototyping and UI design tools. But I feel like you said, I mean, it makes sense for us to still have this design system readily available in these, you know, popular tools that are out there, but also find a way that we can adapt and grow with, you know, the changing capabilities and, you know, and upgrades to these tools and softwares that we use. Yeah, so
definitely. And the really cool thing with Framer is it kind of followed the pattern that I was going to hopefully be using or what we are using now that everything's set up. The package itself, we're using Rollup to kind of do the transpiling using TypeScript, obviously. And it allows us to use styled components and allows us to really customize the theme aspect of things, and we can call in the code however we want to. It really does like that TypeScript, which is awesome, and it is, like you had said, pretty cutting edge. And it allows us to do state management as well, so we can fire events on click or hover, and
right,
it really does add to that prototype thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it allows us to call in those different buttons and decisions and in regards to the UI that, you know, we've already implemented and designed for. You can easily put, you know, put together a prototype and or a final development. I mean, right, a lot easier because you're calling in, you know, from a library that we've already, you know, built out.
And the other really cool thing too is being able to run the tests on build. So basically do all the unit testing, make sure everything mounts correctly, if shows correctly, functions correctly. And then more importantly, because we're going to be integrating with Storybook at the very end of this for all the documentation, I'm able to integrate the A11Y, which is the ADA compliance testing. So like for the buttons, it'll make sure there's an ARIA label and everything's readable from a contrast perspective and all that stuff there, which is really nice. Not having to have to worry about it. And it also allows us to set up those ES linting rules that take care of a lot of that as well, which is huge, which is absolutely huge. Knowing that the design team is using stuff that the development team has already kind of built and signed off on, and then vice versa, the design team can make sure that, oh, hey, this thing is off by 3 pixels here. They can go in and quickly measure things out and make sure it is actually perfect.
Right, yeah. So in regards to moving forward, I mean, we have currently, I know we spoke of buttons, but we locked in our typography, our colors, buttons. Yep. Which I know we're not done talking about buttons yet. There's a lot more to talk about. But
yeah, no, I mean, you can't really do the buttons if you don't have your colors, if you don't have your type patterns figured out. And those are things that we had to build in. And again, using the style components, actually, we're using emotion theming styled, which is very similar to styled components. We might switch to styled components at some point, but for now, I'm using emotion. Having those patterns built in allows you to quickly theme out everything. So we're able to call, like, you know, primary color, secondary color, tertiary color, things of that nature. And then the font styles that we want. So if we ever want to decide to switch those, swap those out, it's relatively quick and painless.
I mean, that's why, I can't even get into it enough how, it's just nuts how this week we completely changed a little bit of our process and how we're going to develop this. But it was just based on, you know, picking up what's available and seeing, you know, just, I mean, I think that's just like one good thing about any of this is that you always got to keep your ear to the ground.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I was thinking about this and what would Framer look like in a normal standardized process, you know, because you do have designers that are designing new cool things and the development team building out the components for the library. And the way I would kind of see that handoff happening in the, you know, UI UX community would be something to the effect of the designer would go into the document. Let's say they want a new kind of drop down select. And they, you know, they add in all their other components that are within the design system, and they decide that they're going to design out this new drop-down select. It would then get submitted to approval to whoever it would need to go through, whether it be your principal UI or creative director or something of that nature, get signed off on, and then that quote-unquote proposal would get handed over to the development team for them to develop out real quick. Once that's developed, the design team can then go back and rapidly prototype out those screens now that the component is done. You know, after a couple of days with the development team and it's back, it's everything should be fully functional and ready to go, which is super cool. As far as I know, Figma can't do that. It's not to say it won't in the future, but Framer definitely is really awesome.
Being able to send things out like that is huge.
Oh, yeah. And the prototyping capabilities of Framer X is pretty sweet. I mean, that's what they were kind of started on was really cool, meaningful transitions and animations within your design, within your interface. And they took it a step further by building out a development API to really make things awesome. And then being able to integrate that in with your, you know, normal CSS hover states, things like that, it makes for a really, honestly, seamless handoff from design to development and development back to design.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of these buttons now.
The other cool thing that we did, switching away from Framer here back into Figma, is Figma has this really cool tool, the auto layout, which is really, really nice when you're dealing with interfaces like ours. We're not setting a fixed width on our button. We're making the buttons with a 16 padding on the left and the right based on the number of characters within the button or icon. And that really allows you to move quickly as you add in the text, as you add in whatever, the button just auto resizes and you never have to worry about it. Those rules are set in stone and you don't need as much documentation outlining those things.
Right. So it just adapts.
Yeah. Yep. That's...
Yeah, I'm so much time. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, we definitely had a lot this week on our plate. And then, not even just the button creation, but the conversations around, like, our Jira tickets that we have are absurd for the amount, like, just the amount of buttons that we thought that we were going to need. And we started going down the road and saying, oh, do we really need this? Do we really need that? And we settled at 140, and after a discussion today, we realized we need about 100 more, which is...
And we'll probably find more we need. But
yeah, oh, I'm sure we will. I mean, I'm sure we will.
We want to have them ready.
Yeah, like I said before, like trying to think of all the possible edge cases that this design system might encounter. It's a lot. I mean, we're really going for an MVP approach to get V1 out the door, and then we can add in edge case things as they come up. You know, hence the whole promise of doing this thing open source, right? Yeah,
there's gonna be times and situations where we may even have to get into e-commerce, obviously. So like you know the amount of hierarchy and buttons you need for just that alone, let alone menus and other things like that. So of course we're probably going to use these buttons somehow.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. E-commerce is a whole other beast.
Yeah, I mean,
but these buttons that we've created do translate over pretty nicely. You know, just icons or icon and text, icon left, text right, text left, icon right. We're trying to really think of it all, and then obviously all of your states within each button. So you have, you know, hover, active, disabled. Just an icon, and yeah, icon with text.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Times how many?
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's seven variations of each type of button. Times, yeah, whatever that math comes out to be. But
maybe seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, seven in each one. Mm-hmm. So, but yep.
Yeah, seven. Yeah, seven and seven, and then. Yeah, the cool thing with Framer too, not to keep, you know, talking about it and sounding like a fanboy over here.
Solid.
Yeah, but it allows you to put variables off to the side. We'll do a tutorial on why, or a video on why we decided to do this, maybe a little setup tutorial and whatnot. But it allows you to set up things like what's the value of the button, toggle switches, is it a basic button like full height, or is it like a slim button or a smaller button? Is it a full width button or a fixed width button? You know, what's the type of it? Is it again primary, secondary, tertiary, whatever else? Mm-hmm. Is it loading? Is it not loading? Like, it really gives you a whole slew of capabilities, and you're just calling in the button. You don't have to worry about calling in the right kind of button. You call in button, and then you can go through the toggles on the right hand side and really zero in what you're looking for.
I mean, I can't believe how much time it's going to save you. And everyone really, once we have.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, the way it works is whenever you build, it actually rolls up the NPM package that you can publish to your, you know, to NPM directly, publish it out to your repositories, what have you, and it's ready to go. And that's what Framer is reading into. So it really is a powerful tool. And like I said before, you can integrate all your testing into it. It won't work in Framer if your tests fail, because the code will fail to build. So it really gives you that peace of mind that what you're doing is correct and what your designers are doing are going to be functionally possible, you know, outside of a new proposal, if you will.
Yeah, because you're using elements you've already designed and, you know, planned for. So
yeah.
It's less thinking after that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm not really sure what's next up. Like I said, like you had said,
yeah.
We've done colors, we've done typography, we have buttons. I'm thinking some form inputs, input text area, and then we'll get into some of the other crazy things like checkboxes and radio buttons and drop downs and.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it makes sense from a progression standpoint. Yeah, and now thinking about it too, we're gonna need a couple of other types of buttons, so we'll probably be closer to that 300 mark when all is said and done.
We better get back to making those a list.
I know. Yeah, it's just been fun though. I mean, obviously people don't see what goes on behind the scenes with our ticketing and whatnot, but there is a lot of trial and error. And like we had already said, like we've been in doing this a week and we've already pivoted our tools quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen probably once or twice more by the time we're done. And that's fine as long as we're making progress, you know, overall.
Yeah, we got to become efficient.
Yeah.
We got to stay on track, though.
Yeah, and then definitely, like, we need to, like, start getting this is on me. I got to start getting the blog up to speed, too, so we can start getting what we're doing on there with supporting videos and whatnot. So people can see what we're talking about, not just hear us talking about it.
Yeah, we gotta get that site live.
Yeah, it's almost done. It's almost done. Probably, I don't know, half day or two more out of me. No more than 2 days, I guess. I know that made no sense, but whatever.
Well, let's wrap this up. I think we're in a good place.
Yeah, yeah. I think
I was hearing some weird mic stuff. I don't know what's going on. Hopefully, the mic sounds better.
Yeah, today. Yeah.
But it might have been a little glitch here earlier. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But
and my level's all sorts of high last broadcast. That's my bad.
I know it sounded like. Oh, sorry, my phone's going off. But yeah, I guess till next time. We'll let you know when the website's live. But we'll try to get up another podcast this week. We need to catch up.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, most likely inputs or another design element. We still have to figure that out.
Cool.
Awesome.
See you guys.
Cheers.